Let's take our Bible, turn to the book of 2 Timothy, and let's stand together and read in chapter number 4. Reading at verse number 14. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. And you can rest assured he did. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. It appears that Alexander the coppersmith was against Paul, stood against Paul, fought Paul, and stood against everything he stood for. In verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Look at that. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, notice this, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You can be seated. Father, tonight give us wisdom. Help us to understand the things of God as we look at this Scripture. Lord, I pray you give us something tonight that would challenge your people and strengthen and encourage. That we keep on keeping on for the glory of God. That we take our stand in this dark day when it's so vile. And Lord, when people have turned from the Word of God, we've got into a state of apostasy. And people have backed up on what they once knew and what they once believed. Lord, we changed our standards and changed our living. And we changed our ideas to fit the day. I pray, God, tonight that you'd help us to understand. Lord, we need to come back to the landmarks and stay with the old landmarks of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to exalt your name. Give us that which we need. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I read this not long ago from one of the old preachers over 450 years ago said this statement. Matter of fact, it's over 450. And this is what he said. I'm going to give it to you word for word. At the present day, there are many who are well nigh sickened by the very name of preaching because there are so many stupid, ignorant men who blurt out their worthless brainwaves from the pulpit. 450 years ago, somebody said that, and I thought, that's stout. And if you said that in these days, you could get in trouble. But nevertheless, we've come there because in our pulpits, we're beginning to express our opinions and not the Word of God. And if we get to the place, it's not what I think about it, nohow. It's not even what you think about it. It's what thus saith the Lord. Another preacher, and this is one of our day, he's not dead, he's still alive. I'm not going to give names to these men. He said this, worship services in many churches today are like a merry-go-round. You drop a token in the collection box, it's a good ride. There's music and lots of motion up and down and around. The ride is carefully timed and seldom varies in its length. Does this remind you of the church? Lots of good feelings are generated, and it's the one ride you can be sure will never be the least bit threatening or challenging. Because you can ride a merry-go-round and not even have to worry about it. You just hang on the pole of the horse or the seat and take the ride. But though you spend the whole time feeling as if you were moving forward, you get off exactly where you got on and have not gone anywhere. Sound to me like somebody knows what they're talking about. We get to our churches and we're basically the same way. I pray tonight God will help us as we look at these thoughts. I want to bring a thought tonight that the Lord stood with me, what Paul said. Here's Alexander. I don't know what Alexander did, but he was a coppersmith, one worked in metals, and he is one, evidently one in the church, but he opposed the man of God. He stood against whatever Paul. You'd say, why would anybody ever stand against Paul? Amen. I believe Paul is probably closer to anybody, closer to the Lord than anybody in his day. And I believe he was right on his doctrines 100%. Don't you believe that? I do not believe that Paul deviated from any of the doctrines of the Word of God. Matter of fact, he had a big part in the life of Peter when he had to rebuke Peter for being a little bit off the shady side of the gospel. And so we find tonight that Paul was a straightforward man and did not waver in anything that he did. But we do also know tonight that Paul was withstood by this man called Alexander the coppersmith. Now, whatever he did and whatever went on, Paul had been troubled by it. And he stood his stand with the Word of God, and nobody stood with him. I've been there a few times in my life. But then he said, the thing about what pleases me and thrills me is, he said, the Lord stood with me. And I got the promise tonight that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll always be with us. I read something a preacher said. He said, what the job of the man of God is when he steps in the pulpit is to enable men and women to know Jesus more clearly, to love Jesus more dearly, and to follow Jesus more nearly. And I thought that sounded pretty good, and I thought it was worth mentioning tonight. That's what the man of God's job is. And I said, how could I do that to help the people at this church? And the only thing I know is just to take the Word of God, the truth. This is the truth tonight. Take the Word of God, which is the truth, and preach the truth. Preach nothing but the truth. Brother Will, preach anything from Genesis to Revelation out of the King James Bible, I guarantee you, it will be truth. So the truth, I'll tell you, it's the only way that we can accomplish that. But the truth, by the way, perplexes some people. In other words, it brings a little question marks to their mind, and it complicates. You preach the truth, it'll complicate some folks' lives. It makes life complicated. And sometimes you preach something from the pulpit, even though it's truth, it will make the people get to the place that they're unable to grasp what you're saying and what's been told. But I'll tell you tonight, it'll not only perplex some, but it'll disturb others. You preach the Word of God, and they'll sit there, and the next thing you know, the Word of God begins to disturb them. The reason it disturbs them is because they know they've got to do something with it. And their life is going to change if they go according to the Word of God. And that's what the truth does. The truth will set you free, and they don't want to be set free because they think they are free. Amen. And the devil's got them blinded. The god of this age has blinded their minds that they cannot see the glorious gospel, and they cannot come to the Lord because of that. It not only perplexes some and disturbs others, but it will cause others sometimes to stumble over it. I've seen some people stumble over the Word of God and wind up in hell. Amen. I've seen that. They just will not accept it. They will not do it. They actually refuse it and take a strong stand that they will refuse the Word of God, and they'll take a view of it and look at it and say, hey, I just don't want it. I ain't going to have it, and I'm not going to get it. And so they'll just die and go to hell without God. But thank God, there's a few tonight that it enriches their lives. It enlightens their lives. It soothes their lives. It touches their lives. It establishes their lives. It gets them to the place that God can use them and makes them a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. We need to come to the place that tonight it's not you or me or anything else, but it's the Word of God that sets us free and makes us what God wants us to be. It's not my time, it's not my talents, it's not my tithe that's going to give me the open eyes that I need in the gospel, but it's the truth of God's Word that's going to change me from the top of my head to the bottom of my foot. If I'm going to be what God wants me to be, it's going to be because of the truth that God has given us. Now, you can go down and get you a catalog, and you can look at the pictures and like the pictures, and the pictures might do something for you. You can get the newspaper, you can read the news out of it, and it might give you some inclination of what's going on and what's happened and what's going to happen. Amen. And you can go get you an encyclopedia, and you might learn a few more things, and you might have to pick up a little more knowledge. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll never get to the place that I talked about a while ago, that we get to the place that we're enriched with Jesus and get close to Him until we get into the Word of God. The Word of God will touch our lives. It'll change our lives. Nothing will do that. The Roebuck catalog will not change your character. It may hurt your character. Amen. But the Word of God will change your life and make you what God wants you to be. Amen. That's why I love the Word of God and love preaching the Word of God. We get the truth in us, then we give out the truth, and the truth through us touches somebody else, and the truth through them touches somebody else, and the truth just goes on and on and on and on. And we praise God that we have the truth tonight. I thank God for the copy of the Word of God that I have. Now, God has, in every believer, done something for us. First of all, we got His presence. And brother, His presence can be felt. Somebody said, I didn't even know God is around. You don't have Him then. Amen. I've talked about, you heard me preaching a few times in the last few services, how in the world could God move into your heart and you not know it. Brother, you'll feel His presence. Brother, God puts that in every believer has this. Every born-again child of God is washed in the blood, saved by the grace of God. Brother, he has the presence of God in him, and he knows that God is there. Amen. If you don't know God's there, you better get the altar. Something's wrong. You didn't get the good. Secondly, you not only have the presence of God in your life that can be felt, but you'll have the power of God. It'll be demonstrated in your life. People will see the power of God demonstrated in you. They'll see your life changed. Hey, this crowd today that runs down the aisle, bows in the altar and said they got saved and goes back out and does the same things they used to do, goes the same old hell holes, does the same old habits they had and it ain't changed them. They're the same old daddy they were before. I'm telling you right now, if you don't see the demonstration of the grace of God in their heart and life, I say it's false, I say it's wrong. I'm telling you tonight, brother, when God moves in, He demonstrates His power by changing you and giving you a resurrected life. I believe that with all my heart. I preach that everywhere I go, amen. I don't usually go too many places, but everywhere I do, amen. Now listen to this. I believe tonight not only is His presence there seen and His power is demonstrated, but there's something else. I believe God's glory is displayed in your life. People see the glory of God every once in a while. Now some of y'all, it might be hard to find. You have to run around with a magnifying glass to see if we can see anything. Amen. But I'm telling you, I believe tonight, if you ever get where God wants you to be, get close to God, there'll be a little bit of the glory of God begin to bubble up in your soul and you'll get excited. Now see, even the worst of you tonight will get excited a little bit when something happens. You said, I'm not emotional. You're more emotional than you think you are. Amen. The car quit on the side of the road, down the road. Tonight, especially as cold as it is, you'll get emotional. Amen. It won't take you long. And we go out tonight after church is over and you got a flat tire. What's the devil slice a half a dozen? But if we got a flat tire, I'll guarantee you we'll get emotional. Amen. Somebody pull off in front of you and you almost hit them, you'll get a little emotional. But we can go to the house of God, open the Word of God, hear the man of God, and we can go to the house and don't seem to even stir us at all. There's something wrong. I get a little emotional myself when I get in the Word of God. How about that? Brother, we'll see His presence in our life. Brother, we'll see the presence. You know what amazes me? This is what thrills me. The God of the universe. The God who flung the stars out into the sky. You can go out there tonight. I guess it's clear enough. I didn't look up when I come in. But I guess it's clear enough to look up. You can see some stars. And on a clear night, you'll see some stars. Now, I've looked at that and I thought about, boy, ain't them pretty? Isn't them pretty? And I think about, boy, God just flung them little stars out like, oh, pixel dust, you know, out in the cloud, out in the sky. And I was reading the other day, and they got to talk about how big them stars were. And said, there's so many million miles away, and they're way out yonder in the universe, and we can see them right here. They look like little specks to me in the sky. But they're so big, and God's got them out there just as shining and taking reflection from the sun. I'm telling you, isn't that amazing? The God that put every one of them out there. Hey, how many of you can name the names of the stars tonight? Nobody. But God knows every one of them by name. He knows where He put them. Amen. And brother, they're there tonight, staying in their place and taking up their place. And the God that made those stars is the same God that dwells in my heart and thrills my soul and gives me something, amen, that this world don't know anything about. Thank God. It's the God of the world. I want to tell you, the God of creation is in me tonight. And I thank God for it. That's His presence. That's amazing for me to think about that. Amen. He's the one who governs all the empires. He's the one that controls all the problems and all the things of this world, all the events. There's nothing goes on but what God don't know about it. Everything it goes on, He didn't ordain it. Amen. But He's allowed it. Amen. Some things He's ordained, some things He allows. And I want you to know tonight, everything that goes on is not sliding under the hand of God and hasn't slipped upon Him. He knows everything. Isn't that amazing? I praise God for that. All the angels in heaven, all the archangels, all the created beasts are in heaven, going through heaven tonight crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Brother, they're bowing at the feet of the Savior tonight. Hey, I want to tell you something. If they can do that and cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," hey, if they have not been redeemed, they have not been saved, they have not had the blood of Christ applied, because they weren't sinners like you and me. They're created beings. But if they can go through heaven and look at all the majesty of God and all the glory that there is around God and His throne, brother, why in the world can't we praise Him? Because we have been redeemed. And we have been saved, and the blood has been applied, and our sins have been taken away from us. Why in the world don't we do that when they do it? Amen. And they have no reason whatsoever, if you stop to think about it like we do. Amen. They haven't been redeemed, but we've been redeemed. I'm saved tonight, headed to heaven. They don't know what it is to be saved. Amen. They've never been in sin. They've never been redeemed. Listen, we ought to be praising God more and more tonight than we ever have. Brother, I'll tell you what. I want you to know the most divine. Well, let me back up and say the only divine. Well, let me say it another way. The divinest of the universe loves me with His whole heart. I don't know whether that word divinest is in there or not. Amen. But I just made it if it ain't. I do good with the English language. I make it read like I want it to. Amen. I brag about Jesus with some strange words, but I'm glad God knows. Amen. So the divinest of the universe, brother, loves me. The mightiest of the universe is protecting me and taking care of me. He's my shield. In Genesis 15:1, I read where it said over there to Abraham, He said, "Abraham," or "Abram, I am thy shield." Thank God tonight, He's my shield too. I want you to know tonight that the mightiest of all the universe is my shield. Amen. Not only the mightiest, but the loveliest of all the universe, brother, is the one tonight that delights in me and loves me with all His heart. Amen. Amen. Not only that, but the dearest of the universe tonight soothes me and cheers me and challenges me and strengthens me and encourages me and sends me on for His glory and honor. Amen. His love is greater than a mother's love and a mother's love for her child. Did you know that? In this world, you look at it, I don't guess you can find, as far as the earth's concerned, as far as humans are concerned, as far as the world's concerned, you cannot find a love that's any greater than the love of a mother and the mother's love for her child. Amen. You say, "Oh, God's love." You didn't hear what I said. I said, in this world, and with human beings, with you and me, if you and I begin to look at love on the physical standpoint, and with the earthly standpoint, and with human standpoint, brother, you have to say that there's no love any greater than a mother's love for her child. Amen. But I want to tell you, the love of God the Father is greater than a mother's love. You said, "How do you get that?" Brother, I've proved it from the Word of God many times over. Amen. The love tonight of your spouse, brother, God's love is even greater than the love of your spouse. Amen. Even though you've got a wife or a husband that stood by you, and anybody, if brothers stood by each other as a husband and wife for many years, I'm telling you right now, you begin to get so close to each other that, hey, you know what's going on in their life. Hear me now. Brother, I thought about that. My wife has stood by me for years and years and years. And there's been a few times when everybody else turned their back on me. Now, Paul didn't understand this. I'll tell you that tonight. Paul, he said, no man stood by me. They didn't stand by him. Paul was not a married man. Amen. According to the Word of God, you won't find him that way. He said, "As I am, I want you, it'd be good you'd be that same way." Not married. Some would say he was, but he's not married. Amen. You'll find in the Word of God where Paul ever had a mother-in-law problem. Amen. He didn't. And he didn't have a wife to, you know, at home to have to take care of. He went preaching the Word of God. And I heard a fellow one time said that a man, according to the characteristics and the things in the Word of God, that he had to be the husband of one wife. And a fellow said, Paul had to be married. Amen. Now, that's not where you're getting that. In other words, he meant you didn't have but one wife. Amen. And so I had a fellow one time in the church told me, he said, if you're not married, and I hear people say that these young fellows are going out and pastoring. My wife, not too long ago, was talking about a young preacher, not too far away from here, and he's married now, but he wasn't married in his pastor. She said, how can that be? I said, because God called him to preach. She said, but he ain't got a wife. She said, well, he don't have a wife, so he can't really pastor to the full extent. I said, well, yeah, he will be at some times in his life. He'll be at a time he won't know about it. I tell you, take a married man to be able to tell the congregation some things. Amen. And he will be in a place of you know, some trouble. But God married him. He's got married now. Amen. I guess that settled her down, but I ain't heard her say no more about it. Amen. But he was qualified to preach before and pastor. You can't find... Now, what God wants is that business of one wife. Now, I want to look at this. Paul didn't know anything about this marriage business. And so, what's happened as a wife... And I've seen it happen in days gone by in my preaching. And people get mad at the preacher. Isn't it amazing how they get mad at the preacher? Why would anybody want to get mad at the preacher? They don't get mad at the mailman for bringing the mail. They don't get mad at the grocery store operator for charging them something. They don't like it. But listen, they do it anyhow. But the preacher can preach something and not even charge them for it. And they get mad at the preacher. And so sometimes they want to slap the preacher and they ain't got the guts enough to slap him. And sometimes they don't have backbone enough to say something to him. So they'll run over to the spouse. And I've had it happen down through the years. They'll jump on the preacher's wife and they'll jump on the preacher's kids. Amen. This girl sitting back there, she knows what I'm talking about. Amen. Pick on them young'uns and pick on that wife. Just because you know why they do that? Because they know if they can get back at that wife and get back at them kids, they're going to slap that preacher right between the eyes. Amen. You go to talk about my family and that gets me upset. I go to talk about your family and you get upset at me. Now, don't get upset at me when I'm preaching to your family about the things of God. Because I'm not in the business of trying to disrupt your family, except get it right with God. Understand that? Now, as we look at this, Paul had a problem. He had a problem with this man that gave him trouble. But let me go back and say this. The greatest love that anybody can have on this earth is the love of a mother and a mother's love for her child. But let me tell you what the greatest love is, and that's the love of God. Amen. And you know that. Because a mother, did you know a mother would do the same thing that the Savior did? She would give her life for her son. Any mother tonight would give her life for her son or her daughter, either one. I mean, a good godly mother that loves God, she's got any God about her at all, she would lay down her life for her children. A good daddy would do the same thing. But I want to tell you, here's where it surpasses that. Mothers would lay down their life for their own daughters and sons, but they would not lay down their life for everybody else's daughters and sons. But God Almighty, through His Son, gave Himself on the cross of Calvary for all mankind. And brother, tonight, that's a greater love. We can understand it like that, can't we? Amen. Well, let's just show you something about Paul. Go to 2 Corinthians. I'll give you a little bit of Scripture. In 2 Corinthians, try not to hold you long. I know you're busy. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, most of the time you're too busy. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Isn't it amazing we got time for everything under the sun? But the house of God? Amen. I've often wondered what happened here if the Holy Ghost fell in one Sunday morning, one Sunday night, or one Wednesday night. And all of a sudden, God got to touching hearts and lives, and we looked at our watch and found out it was about 3 or 4, 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Wouldn't that be something? I just wonder what happened to the rest of you. All right. Some of you. All right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, notice what he says with me in verse 24. Here's what Paul said. Paul said of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. They had whipped him. He said, thrice or 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Have any of you been there? In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are up without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is offended, and I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Now turn over, keeping that in mind, to Romans chapter 8. One of the greatest chapters of the Word of God, Romans chapter 8. There's therefore now no condemnation which are in Christ Jesus. But in chapter 8, I want us to go down in chapter 8, down to verse number 35. In Romans 8 and verse number 35, now Paul's done told you what he's been going through. He's told you what he's had to face. He's told you what he's had to put up with. Brother, he was a persecuted and a troubled man, but he was right with God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, here's what Paul said. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword. Paul said, hey, who's going to separate us? What's going to separate us? In verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, Paul said, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He said, I'm on the winning side, is what he's saying. In verse number 38, he said, for I am persuaded. I love the persuasions of Paul. That's a good thing to preach on. He said, I'm persuaded. Amen. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going through all that, but there's nothing that can separate me from the Lord. Amen. Now, he got that from God. Now, like this tonight, we're talking about the presence of Christ in our life. When we got the presence of Christ in life, it simply means that we got God the Father in our life as well. Tonight, when we talk about the voice of Christ and Christ speaking to us, we also have the voice of the Father in our life. Amen. Speaking to us. Tonight, when we talk about the smile of Christ on us, when He smiles on us, if He ever smiles on us, when He does, we also have the smile of God the Father. Amen. Upon our life. Brother, we get the promises of God in Christ tonight. We got the promises of the Father. You said, how we get them? Through the Spirit of God. Amen. Because it's the Spirit of God that quickens us. What's that word quicken mean? Makes us alive. Makes us the place that we realize that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. It's the Spirit of God tonight who is called the Divine Comforter, if you will, tonight, who comforts us from heaven. Brother, I'm glad when He gives me comfort out of the Word of God, it's divine comfort. It's comfort from above. It's comfort from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost tonight when I get the Word of God that comforts my heart. Not only is the Holy Spirit the divine comforter, but He is a righteous counselor. You go to the world today, you can get all kinds of counsel. But I'll tell you, the one you want is counsel from the Word of God. We need to be counsel from God's Word. Amen. Even in our Christian counseling in these days, they'll go and they'll give you all kinds of psychology. They'll tell you all this and that. But I want to tell you something. We need to get our counseling from the Word of God. We need to let God do the speaking. God can guide us and direct us and give us all that we need. Amen. So He's the righteous counselor. He's the indwelling sanctifier. Brother, that means sets us apart. He's on the inside, setting us apart and directing our paths and telling us what we can do, where we can go and what we should not do and how we can do the things that we're supposed to do. Thank God He is the indwelling sanctifier. Then I'll tell you, He's the infallible teacher. Amen. He'll never teach you wrong. He'll never stir you wrong. He'll never point you in the wrong direction. Amen. I'm glad of that tonight. We have the Father tonight, the God the Father who has adopted us. Look at this. In the past, what's God done? In days past, brother, God the Father has adopted us into His family. He has. Notice that. He has. That means in the past, we've already been adopted into the family of God. I'm not going to be adopted one day when I stand in His eternal presence. Amen. I'm not looking forward to being adopted. Amen. I've already been adopted. I'm in His family tonight, and I've been adopted by the Father. Has been. They already been. That's past. Not only that, but I want to tell you tonight that the grace of the Son of God has already been given to me. Brother, when He died for me on the cross of Calvary, He's already given me His grace. I'm not going to get His grace in days ahead. I've already got His grace. Brother, that's past. It's already done. Amen. I realize that God will give me grace to go on. He'll give me more grace as grace is needed. But He's already given me the grace of God tonight to save my soul. And He's already done that. That's in the past. And I thank God for it. Amen. And not only that, but we've got the power of the Lord in our heart who has quickened us. The Holy Spirit's already quickened us. That means made us alive. I'm not going to be made alive one of these days. Amen. I'm already alive. I used to be dead in trespasses and sin, but I'm alive tonight, and I'm alive forevermore through the grace of God. So if the God in heaven and the Son in heaven and the Holy Spirit in our heart tonight has already done that, then thank God they're standing in my present right now to guide me and direct me and help me the rest of the way. Thank God. I want to point out something tonight. If God be for us, who can be against us? The old lady up yonder in Tryon, North Carolina, one time, she said, "If God be for you, who can be again you?" Amen. Brother, I want to tell you that's right. Amen. The old mountain girl, she'd say that. Every time I get around her, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I praise God that God is for us. Brother, if God's for us, nobody's against us. Now, I want you also to know that my present is complicated. Amen. Sometimes my present is perplexing. Sometimes my present, I don't know what to do. Sometimes I don't know which way to turn right now in my present. And I want to tell you something. My future is dark sometimes when I get to looking at it. But I'm glad somebody that's already been in the past is in the present and the eternal future. I'm glad tonight that He can take me. I need Him. I need His presence. I need Him to guide me and show me what to do. Amen. I want to close with this little thought, a little story. As a preacher, and I read of many years ago, he was preaching. I've forgotten his name at the present time, but his story stayed with me for a long time. And they were in a meeting. I don't even know where the meeting was. I can't remember that. And I don't even know where I found the story, so I can't go back and find out. But I remember the story this much. I remember how that they were in a meeting, and they were preaching in a strong meeting. And this man's a well-known preacher of the day. He's dead now. But he was a well-known preacher of the day. And he was one of the grand preachers of that week. They were in a meeting. They went through the first day and got into the night service. And when he was sitting on the pew waiting for his time to get up and preach, the Holy Spirit said, "I want you to leave this meeting. I want you to get an airplane ticket. And I want you to go to a certain place, and I'll show you where to go when you get there. And I want you to go there now. I want you to leave this meeting." The preacher didn't know the name. He knew the name of where God told him, but he had never been there, didn't know anybody. And he said it troubled him as he sat there. And they sung a little more, and the preacher before him was preaching. And the more he preached, the more the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And he looked over to the man that is in charge, and he said, "I'm going to leave this meeting tonight. I've got to leave and go. And he said, listen, you can't leave. You are one of the main speakers this week and you've got to be here. He said, the Holy Spirit said, go. He said, I've got to go. He went ahead and preached his service, got the service over that night. And he told the preacher, he said, I won't be back. I'm going to catch a plane early in the morning. I'm going to such and such a place where God told me to go. He said, who told? He said, you don't know nobody there. He said, I don't care. God said He wanted me to go. And he said, it's trouble. He said, I've tried to get out of it myself. I don't know him. I don't know what I'm doing. And he said, you may think I'm crazy, but the Holy Spirit said, go. And he said, the next morning I got on the airplane and went to that place and landed this little island. And he said, I got down there, got off of the plane at the airport and walked up to somebody and I said, where's the church he's at around here? He said, I didn't even know who I was supposed to talk to. He said, there's not but two churches here. He said, would you go get one of the pastors and tell them to come down here and meet me or either take me to the pastor? He said, a preacher. And by that time he done introduced me, he said, there's no pastor. Churches here, the two churches don't have a pastor. He said, boy, I felt like I didn't know what I was doing. But he said, I said to him, is there a deacon or somebody that's in charge? He said, yes, sir. There's a deacon that lives right up yonder on that hill. See that little house right yonder? He said, yes, sir. He said, there's a deacon that lives right up there. He said, I'll take you up there to meet him. He said, they took me up there and I knocked on the door and said, I walked up and a woman come to the door and said, I'm so-and-so. And said, oh, thank God, we've been looking for you. Said, we've been waiting on you. Said, I want to talk to your husband. She said, he's busy right now. And said, I'll tell you where he's at. Said, he's right out yonder in that barn. Said, he's been out there in that barn for 2 days. And said, he said that you was coming. Matter of fact, he told us that you was going to be preaching tonight. And he said, he's already got arrangements for you to stay at a house. Said, they're going to put you up and take care of you. And he said, and if you heard this preacher, you know, and brother, you read after this man, I'll guarantee you this story. Amen. Listen to me. Said he walked out there of that barn, and he said, he knocked on the barn door and nobody come. But he could hear somebody moaning. And he opened that door and he heard somebody over there crying and weeping. And said he walked over there where he's at in this man, and the place is wet where he was. And he had been praying with tears. And said, about that time he just spoke to him. Said, the old fellow looked up and he said, praise God, there you are. I knew you was coming sometime today, but I didn't know when. But I know you was going to get here today. He said, I got you lined up to preach tonight. And said, you're going to preach. And he said, I got you a place to stay. Let me take you because it's just a little bit and you're going to be a preaching. He said, where am I preaching? He said, that little building right down yonder. Amen. And he said, they went to that little old meeting that night and had about 80 people. Said, I didn't know him, didn't know a person. Said, I got up to preach. And he said, there's an amen in me. And all he said, when the service is over, just like any other service. And he said, I thought, well, if God, you sent me this far, and I've come this far, surely something's going to take place. And he said, nothing seemed to happen. But he said, we left. And said, that little old feller went back down to the barn and stayed in the barn all night. Got up the next morning and heft him out a little bit. And he said, preacher, you're preaching again tonight. And he said, the people's been a-praying for you for a long time. And they had already told what preacher was coming. And it was his name. And so he got up that night and he said, well, y'all don't know me. He said, no, sir. Well, we don't know you, but we know what God said about you. And so he got up that night and started preaching. And the service started. And he said, it's 8 o'clock. People was coming to the altar to get right. 9 o'clock is coming to the altar to get right. 10 o'clock is coming to the altar to get right. Said, people's coming in across that island and getting saved and getting born again. 11 o'clock is still going on. 12 o'clock is going on. Went on up to 3 o'clock in the morning. People still getting right with God. He said, we had a revival simply because we obeyed God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we need tonight is the same thing. I read this afternoon in the book of Jude. Nowhere in the book of Jude, and it said this in one verse. He said, and having compassion, making a difference. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight I'd like to have the compassion I need for souls tonight that are lost and undone and going to hell. I'd like to have a concern like I ought to have tonight. Amen. I need that concern of compassion. Some having compassion, making a difference. I don't have the compassion I ought to have. Don't have the concern that I ought to have. And you don't either. We need to get that place. Oh, God, trouble my heart, burden my soul. Could I get like the old boy was down at the barn? I want to pray and pray and pray and seek God's face. Brother, the light shines through and the heaven comes on the scene. Brother, that's what we need here at this church. It's for us to get the place that we start agonizing with God. I tell you, we got loved ones that's lost. We got loved ones that's out of the will of God. And if we get to praying like we ought to, Brother, God will begin to trouble their heart. I don't care if they're not coming. I don't care if they haven't been in church in 40 years. Brother, they can start coming to the house of God. God can work on them where they are, but He's got to work on us where we are tonight first. God help me. Amen. I'll leave that with you. I tell you, Paul said, no man cared for me, they didn't stay with me. But he said, the Lord stood by me. The Lord stood by me. And I'd say tonight, from my heart, down through the years, I've seen people turn and go that way. I've seen them turn and go that way. I've seen them turn and walk away and shake their head at some of the things I've preached and some of the things that we look for in the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. I've never had the Lord to walk off from me yet. And you've never had the Lord walk off from you yet. He's always stood by us. Why? You stay with God and His Word, and God will stay by you. Brother Sammy Allen used to say, stay by the stuff or stand by the stuff. We need to stay by the stuff tonight. And God will stay by us. Amen. Heads bowed. I pray tonight that you'll let the Lord touch your heart. I pray you'll let Him guide you. Tomorrow, while we're having Thanksgiving and sitting with our families, we ought to be so grateful and thankful what God has done for us. He's given us what we don't deserve. He's given us what we will never deserve. He's given us what we have never earned and never will. He's been better to us than anybody we've ever met. Thank God He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So let's stand. This will be a good time tonight just to come and thank God for being by you, standing by you down through the years. Be a good time to do that tonight right here in front of the church. Lord, thank you for standing by me, never failing me, never letting me down. Be a good time to do that. God's been good to you, better to you than you deserve, better to you than you ought to be.